Okay, George, I agree with you. It's Newtonian, but you got to kind of give me somewhere, a high, a low. I'll accept a plus or minus 5% range. How's that? And also, some people might keep in mind when they've seen the ISS and they see guys working in the ISS, that they might draw some conclusion that might give them a suggestion of how many G-forces are acting on the space station. You know, not that that's the answer, but I'm throwing it out there for what it's worth. So please, someone volunteer a percentage, any percentage.
So why do I?
0%.
Have someone voting for 0%, and Hank has a guess. Please give us your guess, Hank.
I'm going to guess around 90%, assuming that the gravitational force is pretty much the same in low Earth orbit, just attenuated by about 10% or so, and only not felt for them because of the fact that they're traveling at 17,500 miles an hour and therefore in an effective free fall condition.
GSM.
Too smart for me, Hank.
GSM wants to make a guess.
GSM.
Bravo 2 Golf X-ray, Mike, Rich. I'm going to second the idea of 0%.
Okay, so we have 2 for 0%, 1 for 90%. Does anyone have any other ideas of other percentages?
VDH with a comment.
Yes, VDH.
Well, since they're in orbit, they are fully responding to the gravitational force. Essentially, I think another gentleman made the comment that they're in free fall. So there is gravitational force on them, but they are fully responding to it, so that's why they're in a weightless condition. Go ahead.
Okay, so you go along with the 90%.
Yeah, there's 90% gravitational force acting on them, and just as an elevator fully responding to a downward force as it free falls, inside that the space station, they are weightless. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. Anyone else with any other opinions on the subject?
WS2N.
Yes, Paul.
If the space station wasn't moving at all and just decided to stay in one spot, they'd be sitting and standing, walking around just like we are here. So I'm going to go with over 90%.
Okay, very good. So we have two camps, basically, 90% and zero. Anyone else have any other thoughts on the subject? Okay, you guys are too smart for me. Yes, it's 90%. As I mentioned before, the ISS is very, very, very close to ground. So gravity falls off as 1 over r squared. And so only 245 miles up, it only diminishes to 90% of what we feel here on the Earth. The trick with the ISS, and the reason why I think some people might think that's in microgravity, is because it's in free fall, which is not quite the same as microgravity. It's a different thing, and was mentioned that if you were in an elevator and someone snapped the cable and you plummeted to your desk, if you reach the ground, you would feel weightless. So that's not zero gree, but that's weightlessness. So yeah, the answer is that the ISS feels 90%, but because of their orbiting velocity and that they're in free fall, they don't feel the force that's opposing, because there's no force opposing. There's two forces that go on in gravity. There's the force at a distance, which is gravitational attraction, and then there is contact forces on the surface that are pushing back at you, and that's what you feel as your weight. In this case, there's no counter force, because everything's falling, and so they feel weightless. So let me ask a couple of other little questions, since you got gravity right so quickly. What about, and we may have used this question before, so please forgive me. What if we took some poor unfortunate person, put him in a vacuum chamber, sucked all the air out, and weighed him? Would it change his weight?
WS-1, I just want to go back to the gravity thing one time, Roy.
Sure, Paul.
Okay, I sent you that bit of the information about the two satellites that were going to go up this Saturday. So it's the GRACE follow-on mission. Two satellites are going to be going up, and one's going to follow the other one, and they're going to be measuring basically the gravity as they go around the Earth over and over again. They're going to be linked with lasers. And they say that if they go over a mountain, it's going to change the speed of that spacecraft, and they're going to be able to detect that. And they're going to know if it's a valley, a mountain, if a lake is dried up. It's going to tell them all of that. But that's how sensitive this piece of equipment is going to be. But that gives you an idea that just going over a mountain, you go over the Himalayas, and you're going to increase the gravity. Back to you.
Well, if you're above the elevation of all these things, yeah, the gravitational field goes. But here's another question very closely related to that, and we'll get back to the vacuum in a moment. Does anyone think that there's any particular weight difference if they measured their weight at the equator or at the north or south pole?
WS2N.
Yes, Paul.
I'm going to be lighter at the north or south pole. That's what I think.
One way, why?
Yes, I think Hank is going to have an opposing opinion.
Negative, I'm going to agree with Paul. I think that the Earth is a bit wider at the equator because of its rotation, and therefore you would probably weigh less. I am opposed. You're going to weigh less at the on the Earth because you're at the equator because you're further away from the center of the mass. That's what I want to say.
Okay, I thought you were going to oppose it. It was kind of interesting listening to your thought process as you came to the conclusion. Yeah, the factor, because as I was talking to, if you're at a set elevation above ground, then any heap of extra ground is going to measure more of a gravitational force. But if you factor in the distance from the center of gravity into that, and you're on the surface, the farther, the more elevated your little mound of Earth is, the less you're going to weigh. So you weigh more at the north and south pole than you do in the equator. It's only about 0.5%, but there is a difference.
I got it right, but for the wrong reason, Roy.
Well, I don't know. You said the exact opposite of what it is. You said that you weigh less at the North Pole, right?
I probably said it backwards, if that's what I said. I meant more at the North Pole. But I did it. I had a different reason. Because you're on the equator, you're spinning. You have that centrifugal force slightly throwing you away from the Earth. That was my reasoning. So therefore, you're heavier at the North Pole. I might have said it backwards. Back to you.
Okay, it's very easy to mix it up. I mean, Hank started off with the opposite opinion before he listened to his own reason and changed it to the right one. So that's the answer for that. So let's just travel back to that poor guy in a vacuum. We've already killed the poor guy. Do you think that he weighs any more, any less, or the same in a vacuum than he did when he was alive?
WVQU.
That's Hank first, and then VDU. Hank, were you the first person to make a
sense? No, I wasn't. I didn't venture a guess.
XM.
Okay, I'm sorry, GXM. You're first.
I think you're right.
clarify. I believe that the guy in the vacuum chamber would actually weigh less after the air was removed. WBTGXM.
I say he weighs more.
K2NDP, I also say he weighs more.
That's if he's in a perfect spacesuit. If you really did it, you put him in a vacuum, and all the fluids in his body start boiling away real fast. That's another complicating factor that would make him lighter. But in a perfect spacesuit, in a vacuum, I think he's heavier.
Yeah, we're going to keep it simple for the sake of this. And so about half of the people say gain weight, the other people say lose weight. Anyone believe that he'll keep the same exact weight?
I'll pick the same weight, WS2N.
Weight is dependent upon the gravity and relationship to the large bodies on the mass, and it would be whatever is around us, planets, let's say.
Well, he'll lose the weight of the air that was in his lungs, so he should be lighter.
But usually you don't weigh the atmosphere around you. I mean, the guy on a scale on the planet Earth, so we have the gravitational force, we have the atmosphere, it's just we put him in a little box and sucked all the air out of the damn thing.
Use the weight less.
Can I go further?
Okay, so we've had weight less, weight more, weight the same. Anyone with any other opinion? Everything's been kind of covered, but I'm just wondering if someone has something even more different than that.
We have air pressure, and that is pushing you down. It's like you put something on the top of you. And that would add some weight. And there's a difference in relationship in the body's mass, the planets, and to issue.
Can we clarify the question a little bit more, Roy?
Okay, basically, you got a guy on the planet Earth standing in front of you. He's in a spacesuit. You take a vacuum, you plug it into the side of him, and you measure his weight with this gear, and then you suck all the air out of it, and you measure his weight again.
Okay, where does the air go? Does the air go back into a receiver tank, compressed into a receiver tank that's attached to the outside of this chamber that he's in?
The air goes into whatever, and you take it down to the basement, it's gone. It's just this poor guy who's dead in his spacesuit for the sake of science.
Let's get him standing on a bathroom scale. He's standing on a bathroom scale with his spacesuit under normal conditions. He's in a room. Then he is still standing on that bathroom scale, and you extract all the air in the room, and he's sitting there with his spacesuit under, and he's got a backpack, which, by the way, assume the backpack doesn't change any of the ways. So he's in the room with no wild air in the room, and he's always standing on a bathroom scale. Is that one way of defining the problem, Roy?
No, unfortunately, the way I have it constructed, we're unfortunately killing the poor guy. We're sucking the air out from the inside of the spacesuit, not the surrounding area of the spacesuit.
You suck the air out from the inside of the spacesuit. The air in the room is now going to be pushing on the outside of that spacesuit, crushing in on him. It's going to make him feel very uncomfortable.
We'll get to you in a second, Wesley. Well, he's passed, unfortunately, the point of uncomfort since you've taken all of his air away and he hasn't been able to breathe anything. Unfortunately, he's been dead. So, you know, all for science. It's just the way I phrased it, unfortunately, but that was the premise of the question. But you came close. You pretty much answered it. You're just kind of wondering about the poor problem that I've given this imaginary astronaut or guy in a spacesuit.
You're asking, did his weight go up or down, but how are you assessing, what instrumentation located where is assessing his weight?
OK, Okay, he's in a spacesuit. The spacesuit is really rusty, so the parts don't move. So he's kind of frozen in the spacesuit. He's standing on a bathroom scale, and you've sucked the air out and done a before and after reading on the bathroom scale.
Can you give us a rough estimate as to the number of cubic feet of air that was removed from the spacesuit?
Well, not exactly, but you don't have to tell me how many pounds he's heavy or light. Just the basic premise of the question is, does he gain, lose, or keep the weight the same? The amount of air that gets pumped out will change the amount of the response, but it's not going to change the direction of it.
Because you made his spacesuit out of a chunk of steel, that will assume that the spacesuit does not change its volume when you remove the air. And he is standing on a bathroom scale. The bathroom scale is on the outside of the spacesuit. So all you've done is to remove the air from inside of the spacesuit, but the outside volume of the spacesuit stayed constant. Is that the definition of the problem?
Yup, that's the question in a nutshell.
Okay, as I see it, the air in that spacesuit had a certain amount of mass. You removed that mass. That would suggest that the scale on the outside of the spacesuit is going to read a lighter number, particularly due to the fact that as you remove that air, the fluids in his body are also boiling off. Go ahead.
But the problem is that if you take a couple of cubic meters of air and weigh it on a scale on Earth, you know what weight you get for it. His mass has changed, his weight shouldn't change. Air is buoyant, and it's not going to register on a scale.
You two guys doubled. Roy, repeat your question, your statement.
I'm just saying that it's a case of buoyancy. A box of air, of room air, has no weight. It has mass, it has gravitational aspects, but it has no weight. So the air in the spacesuit that you're sucking out isn't going to decrease his weight because it didn't weigh anything by the method that we're measuring it to begin with.
That air is a fluid. That fluid has a certain density of pounds per cubic meter. Water is a fluid. It has a certain density of pounds per cubic meter. The air is a hell of a lot lighter, but it still is a massive fluid, which creates a certain degree of buoyancy. I think those are some of the variables involved. Roy, go ahead.
NY2H. Well, the scale was calibrated, taking the 14.7 pounds per square inch already in mind, so he would be lighter.
Okay, or you could think that he's less buoyant because now there's a vacuum in his spacesuit, so all the air is out, but the forces of air pressure and such are still pushing down. Buoyancy is a force going up, not going down, so it negates gravitational attraction weight. So that's, I think, where the problem might be.
There's two different ways you could weigh him. He could be standing on a bathroom scale, and the bathroom scale is on the inside of the spacesuit with him. Or the bathroom scale is on the outside of the spacesuit, and he's with the spacesuit standing on it. You get two different answers in those two different layouts.
I mean, for the sake of this question, the scale is outside his spacesuit, but yes, yeah, say what you have to say, Wes.
The surface of the object has the same density. So we're talking about specific gravity. So we have a wall, and it will have substantial weight if measured on land. So it will have no weight if weighted is water. So any object that sinks into anything, say water, will have a weight. Now, we remove the air, so we certain amount of weight. There is no air pressure on the top of the person.
Okay, it's very easy to confuse everyone and everything with weight, and it is not directly related to mass. Weight is the end force based upon gravitational attraction in one direction, buoyancy usually in another direction, and it's the total amount of forces. So although something can have mass, it doesn't have to have weight. If you're in an environment in which you're buoyant and floating, and you have the same specific gravity as the environment around you, then you don't have any weight. You have mass, but you don't have weight. So you might want to kind of refine the definition of weight for the sake of this question.
Rather than call it weight and buoyancy and whatever, why don't we call it what will the scale read?
Okay, that's fine by me. What will the scale read? I would tend to think that there would be a very small gain because you're losing the upward force of buoyancy by sucking out all the air in the poor guy's lungs and the area around his body. Not much, maybe 1 newton of force, maybe about 1/10 of a kilogram, but I would see that would cause a gain in his scale reading.
Only if you change the person with the mass that doesn't disintegrate. So instead of the person in the shoes, you just put the mass that would be a rock, whatever it is. I would agree with that.
I'm going to try a different way of looking at it, Roy. Assuming the spacesuit is steel and absolutely rigid, it doesn't change volume. He's in this steel spacesuit, and on the outside of the spacesuit, he is standing on a bathroom scale in that room. Before the experiment begins, the man is in the spacesuit. A certain amount of air is in the spacesuit with him. Assuming that none of his fluids boil off and we're not worrying about killing him, we're just removing the air from the spacesuit. The air had a certain amount of mass. You remove that mass of air from the spacesuit. Now there is more vacuum inside the spacesuit. That would suggest that the scale is going to read a lower number when you remove that air. W. Roy, KQLIW.
Yeah, but there won't be any buoyant forces in his lungs and such because there'll be no air in his lungs. So I think the net change, and of course it depends on how roomy his spacesuit is, but I think the net change of the guy, unfortunately, is that he's a little less buoyant, and so that less buoyancy ends up registering as a very slight increase in weight.
Let me try it again. Is the spacesuit a fixed volume object? First on that one, Roy, go ahead.
Let's say it is, but it's an incredibly tight-fitting one.
It's a fixed volume object. In the beginning, there was a mass of a human being in there, and there was a mass of some air in there. At the end of the experiment, the mass of the human being is still there. You removed some of the mass of the air inside of that fixed volume object. Doesn't the total weight on that scale of that fixed volume object go down because you removed some mass from that fixed volume object? Over to you, Roy.
Well, yeah, I was trying to kind of come up with the easiest kind of way of sucking air out and weighing people, so probably my example wasn't great. It leads to this question about the air surrounding him as opposed to the air in his lung giving him the buoyancy. If you factor in a certain amount of air surrounding him, then it goes in the opposite direction. If you solely factor in the air that's in his lungs that would lessen his buoyancy, then his weight, I still think, would increase. But probably the spacesuit is just confusing the matter.
Let me have it come. Another way, instead of removing the air, compress the air, double the amount of air.
Thomas. Yeah, that's a good one. If we add air back in to see if this thing is a linear relationship, that's a good one. I like that one.
Okay, so you double the air. What do you expect to happen?
Lou's going to tell us.
Increase.
I'm with Lou.
Roy, let me out.
You can have a go at it.
How confusing concept brings when understanding it. Let's say we have an object that sinks into the water, and it will have a weight, but it would weight in land more than it will weight in the water, because then we take into consideration the displacement volume. So now we have a person that is in the vacuum chamber, and that would be a little slightly more, but not the person. Forget about the person. Let me drop. I said it was going to weight less because then we have air removed. But let's say we don't have a person. We have certain mass that doesn't change, doesn't disintegrate. And now we're removing the factor of the displacement, because now this person is not in the air. So now this person should weight slightly more. We rewarded it. Somebody doesn't have said it.
Getting back to the thing of doubling the pressure, as far as I can perceive, what happens if you double the pressure is you diminish the buoyancy, because now the specific gravity of the air is heavier, is denser and heavier, so it has a greater force downward. So I would think that if you increase the pressure, you would also gain weight.
You're right. Take a tire with air in and drink it.
WB2GX, that was the best example that I could have chose. I probably could have chose a much simpler design that kind of streamlines all these complications, but what can you do?
Rory, I think the spacesuit has complicated it. If a man is standing on a scale without a spacesuit in a room, and now you remove the air from the room, the guy was dead to begin with, so we're not killing him. So a man is, by some means, he's got rigor mortis and he's standing on a scale in this room. And now you remove the air from the room, and what does the scale do? That greatly simplifies the problem as I see it. Go ahead, Roy.
Okay, but it adds another unfortunate aspect to it. So now you no longer have the air pressure that's pushing down on you. So that's a decrease in the force going down.
Don't agree. Stand by.
D2NBB.
You can get yourself very confused if you talk about the downward force and the upward forces when you're talking about buoyancy. I can have a object that I'm pushing under the water in order to measure its buoyancy. And whether the object is held upside down or right side up, you would think you'd measure a different amount of buoyancy. You measure the same buoyancy. So you got to be careful about the air pushing down. The total amount of the fluid that's displaced and the mass of that fluid, that difference we call buoyancy, regardless of the shape of the object. That's one way of looking at it. Back to you, Roy, and to somebody trying to sign in.
Comment, K2NBB.
Yeah, I think Bob was first, and then Hank, and then NBB, if I got my people right. Bob, did you want to say something?
This is Bob K2NBB, but you said NBB after, so I thought there was another Bob. Is it me you want?
Yes, you, Bob.
Okay, I was saying, what if he just stands on the scale and then he exhales? Wouldn't that make his weight go up because he's less buoyant?
Yeah, I mean, That's ultimately the question taken to extremes. If you removed all the air out of that poor guy's lung, would his weight go up, down, or stay the same? And the answer basically is that he'd gain a little weight. But unfortunately, I decided to complicate things with spacesuits and all manner of things. Hank, you wanted to say something? They have Hank mixed up with GXM again. Oh, then what about VDH?
Oh, I have no comment.
WBTGX, I want a comment.
GXM, comment away.
Roy, I don't see where buoyancy comes into the situation. Buoyancy refers to the mass of a certain substance being lighter than the mass around it. Air is air. There's air in his lungs. There's air around him. There's no buoyancy involved. So I don't understand where you would get the buoyancy. WB2GXM.
Comment.
And after him, I got a comment.
I would just say that KD2PBH, I don't see how you could take something away and actually increase the weight of it. Just like, for instance, if we're talking about buoyancy, just for instance, every 33 feet of depth is an atmosphere. So if you were to take a bottle, hold it upside down, as you went down even a few feet, you would watch that air just crunch down and lessen. Sorry.
I believe a human being can very slightly change his buoyancy. When I was first learning to swim from around 10 years of age in salt water, I recognized the fact that if I took a big inhale, I floated slightly higher. My face was a little bit further out of the water as opposed to doing the opposite, a heavy exhale. My chest would expand. My body volume would slightly increase if I did a heavy inhale. My face was a little bit higher out of the water in salt water when I was floating. So I was displacing salt water, a pretty heavy fluid. Although air is a fluid that's a hell of a lot lighter than water, I think the same phenomena does take place. I believe a person who does a heavy inhale will measure a fraction of an ounce lighter than a person who does a heavy exhale as he's standing on a scale, similar to what I experienced with salt water, because air is a fluid and it weighs 1.2 kilograms per cubic meter. Over to you, Roy.
You have a problem with yours. A perfectly planned object has the same density at specific gravity. So you weren't really changing buoyancy. You were just pumping into yourself air that was, like, lighter. So that air makes you lighter. And to agree.
I'm going to agree with Wes on this one. Although it worked with water, it ain't going to work with air, because the air I'm putting into my lungs is identical to the air I'm displacing with my chest expanding. So I ain't going to change my weight by inhaling or exhaling when I'm doing it with air, even though it does happen with water. I'm going to agree with Wes on this one. You got it right.
Okay, I think maybe we should table this for the time being. I got to hit the books again and figure out exactly. I got it from the wonderful internet, and you know how sometimes it could be confusing. So I will go back to the source and try to plumb the depths of this subject. Otherwise, we'll be going in circles for a while.
I have a question to you, Roy. Does the moist air weigh more than the dry one?
Do you want to tell us if moist air is heavier than dry?
Oh, so you want me to answer? You don't want to take a stand?
I say moist air is a hell of a lot lighter. That's why a pilot has a much more trouble taking off on a high humidity day. Over to you, Roy.
Think about H2O. Somebody else?
H2O as a vapor molecule is a hell of a lot lighter than O2 and N2. Over to you, Roy.
Yeah, we sort of covered this a couple of months ago when we did Dopplers, and we came to that conclusion that water molecules are much lighter than nitrogen and oxygen, and so gaseous water has a lower density, and so a moisture decreases the density. But I thought you just wanted to re-explain that, Wes. But we kind of went through there a while ago.
I didn't hear that. I was just talking about density of diatomic oxygen, nitrogen, that's all.
Okay, H2O is much less dense gaseously than N2 or O2. And so when it's in gas form and displaces O2 and N2, it causes the density to decrease.
Does 1 gallon of water weigh more than when it's frozen?
Are you taking into account that the density changes, so the volume of liquid water is not the same when you freeze it, or is it the same amount, volume of water ice to begin with?
Roy, think about size of molecules change and to exceed.
If I started off with exactly 1 gallon of water in liquid form, and then I freeze it, although its volume may change, the same number of molecules are there, therefore its weight, not counting the buoyancy of the air around it, the weight should be the same.
It's a matter of semantics. When you have a volume measurement, if you specifically want to stay that volume, then you have to consider the changing density, in that ice is lighter than liquid water. But if you're using just a complete total amount of anything, whether you freeze it or whether you melt it, it has the same amount of mass and same buoyancy, and it's going to have the same weight.
Question.
Yes, question?
Okay, let's say we had a box, okay, and that was full of air, and all of a sudden you sucked the air out. Would the temperature change at all? I mean, would there be a differential in the temperature immediately?
Temperature in the box?
Yes, if we say that we just had a box that has air, let's say our atmosphere, air, pressure 29.95, whatever, and all of a sudden you suck the air out to a perfect vacuum, would it change the temperature?
I think transiently it would, but it would equilibrate to the fact. But if you sucked all the gas out of an enclosed area, you're decreasing the pressure, PV equals NRT. I know Dick had a whole conversation earlier today with Steve about that. I would assume that immediately the temperature would drop locally.
The temperature of the thermometer inside the box, I say, is going to drop.
Okay, no, I would agree with that. I just wonder if any of that factors into the weight equation of the original question. I'm just trying to think here.
Well, it would be buoyant. A vacuum inside of air would be buoyant. It'd be lighter.
Well, no, I agreed with pretty much everyone that PV equal NRT, if you pump out and decrease the pressure in an enclosed area, you have a decrease in the temperature.
So you end up with a colder, lighter box.
I don't know if you end up with a lighter box.
If the box did not change volume, and you chew and you remove the mass of the air inside, wouldn't the box be lighter?
Well, but again, the air is at the room pressure and such, and so air doesn't really register as in a scale. If you take a balloon and just weigh it when it's empty, and then blow it up with your breath and weigh it, it's going to weigh the same.
The balloon is not a fixed volume object. This box is a fixed volume object. It had a certain amount of mass of air inside. You removed that mass of air inside. I think the box has to be lighter. Another way of looking at it is the box is experiencing a little bit of buoyancy because its inside density has gone down and the fluid on the outside has stayed the same density. So I think the box is lighter when you evacuate the air if the box is fixed in volume.
Okay, it's very possible. At this point, I definitely have to go back and read up on buoyancy.
Dr. Roy, humoristic. How much does 1 gram of air weight?
1 gram.
And do we see it?
What color is a red fire engine?
Buried in Grant's toe.
How much does 1 liter of air weight, Dr. Roy?
It depends. You're talking about, that's a cubic meter. Again, the problem is your definition of weight, because if you put that in a scale, it's going to weigh zero, you know, in a laboratory, just sitting there in open air. So it depends on semantics and word tricks and such, but ultimately in the laboratory, a big box of air should weigh nothing.
Correct answer. It's defined by said amount of matter in the atmosphere. That would be, if I remember correctly, 101.3 kilopascals.
Again, unfortunately, we're talking about buoyancy as a factor, and Dick might disagree with me, that the mass has a gravitational attraction, buoyancy has an opposing force, and in room air with an equal density, they balance out. And so they don't weigh anything on a scale that measures the force exerted on the contact between the planet Earth and whatever object you are weighing.
I would have a comment on that, too.
Comment away.
Airships that are considered lighter than air, which would be a blimp, now, if you heat the air, let's just say if we had the little box again, and we had air that was normal air, it's got a certain temperature, a certain density, and then you have the lighter than air, the air that's heated up in the blimp, you know, not being helium, but actually like maybe a balloon, is that hot air lighter than the normal air in the box? Because if it is buoyancy that's making it lift or be able to float, is it changing the weight of the air? If the air doesn't weigh anything, that doesn't make sense.
That depends if you're talking about open space or the closed space. Think about density. If the matter or anything that is inside cannot change density, it cannot change buoyancy.
Hot air rises because it expands.
Hot air expands, its density decreases, its buoyancy force increases.
Dr. Roy, you have two batteries. One is depleted, one is charged. Which one is heavier?
The charged one.
Why does it rise if it expands?
But it was faster.
It might not be any different, sir, Roy. A charged battery has a certain number of those ions on the cathode and a certain number of them not on the anode. And when it's discharged, the same number of ions are there. They're just in a different place. The battery might not change mass when you discharge it.
Again, it's a matter of semantics. I think if we were to measure a battery on the measuring devices that we have, it would read the exact same weight. I'm taking it to the extreme of E equals MC squared. So a charged battery is in a higher energy state, and by definition, a higher energy state is slightly, it has more measurable mass. So it might be a ridiculously small difference, but it's a small difference in favor of weighing more when it's charged than when it's discharged, in my humble opinion.
The answer is, we're talking about your old batteries that we remember when we were young. Well, I'm still young. Okay. There was a certain amount of serviceable water that filled those batteries. And by that, we might say that depleted one loses a certain amount of water. But with modern batteries, there should be no change in weight.
Again, as far as big numbers, yes, I agree. It shouldn't change weight. But if you actually had some strange method of measuring it all the way down to the infinitesimal, just by the fact that E equals MC squared, high potential molecules have a very, very slightly increased weight. So by sake of E equals MC squared, a charged battery has slightly more mass for the sake of the energy that it has. It's infinitesimally larger, I'll give you that, but it's theoretically larger.
So let's say we have a natural gas and we have air. Which one is heavier?
Say again, natural gas? I mean, you're talking about natural gas to burn stuff with?
I'm talking about methane.
Okay, so the question is, what's lighter, methane or air? I think methane is a little lighter than air.
It's about the density, but the Dick?
I don't know. When you release methane from a compressed air bottle, life gets complicated because you're changing its pressure and it cools. But would methane spill out of a compressed bottle if you equalized temperature? Would it go to the floor or to the ceiling? Is an interesting question.
Dioxide is more dense than room air. It settles on the bottom, and every so often you'll hear some strange case of someone who brought dry ice into a room and slept on the floor and suffocated on it.
Density of air is 1.2 kilograms per square meter. And methane, I don't remember, 0.72 kilograms per square meter. Dr. Roy, maybe you remember.
Fortunately, I don't, but if those numbers are anything close to fact, then, as I said before, I don't recall natural gas settling to the ground. I've never heard of that. So it's always rising, so it's got to be less dense than room air. So that goes along with all the numbers that you gave. So I think it's lighter than air.
It's also questionable. If we talk about the natural gas, which is mostly methane, we have a hybrid carbons. We have, propane. We have butane. Did I forget anything? We have ethane. So density is still less than air, but you're right, somebody might get suffocated.
Okay, I would like to try another little puzzle if there's time.
Why don't we squeeze in one more puzzle and then go over to the space report? Go ahead, Roy.
Okay, this particular puzzle has to do with imaginary potatoes, and there's no spacesuits involved or buoyancy. Say that I genetically engineered a potato that's 99% water and 1% solid potato mass. So I got 100 pounds of these sacks of 99% water potatoes, and I tell you that what I need is 98% water potatoes. If you could just take it out and heat it in the noon sun, evaporate some of the water out to make it go from 99% water to 98% water. And if you did that, how much do you think the potatoes that you brought back to me would weigh? At all. You're going from 99% water to 98% water.
And you started off with a total of 100 pounds. What will the new weight be? Same number of potatoes, but they're now 98% water instead of 99% water. They were 100 pounds. What's the new weight of the whole bag of potatoes?
Did I understand the question properly? You have a 98%, which is 2% different than 100. And then you have a 99% that is 1% of 100. The weight would be the same.
Negative. He started off with 100 pounds of 99% water potatoes. After dehydration, the 99% water went to 98% water. What's the new weight?
In other words, how many pounds worth of water do you have to get rid of? Turn 100 pounds of these potatoes from 99% water to 98%. That's another way of looking at it.
B2NVV.
Yes, Bob.
I don't know the exact number, but it seems like it'd be kind of a tricky number, because if you just took out 1 pound of water, then you would now have 98 pounds of water and 1 pound of the rest of the stuff, which is a total 99 pounds. So that would not be 98% water. It would be 99th water. So that's about as far as I can take it.
Okay, Bob, so the answer is that it's not 99 pounds of potatoes, but does anyone want to suggest that it might be?
98.9 pounds.
Okay, so you're saying that if I told you to decrease the water content from 99 to 98, that the 100-pound sack would be 98.9 pounds?
Sorry, 99.1.
7.
Lou said 7?
Well, the 7 is a gallon of water. What's a... Yeah, I said 7. I don't know.
That's an interesting... Sure, I didn't expect to hear 7.
It's late. What do you want?
Very well. So, Bob pointed out that it, although a lot of people would kind of jump at the 99-pound thing, if you actually do the math, which isn't that difficult to do the math, it's 98 pounds of the potatoes means that 98 pounds is water, and then the 1 pound of potato mass, so it's 98 over 99, which is equal to 98.989, which is not 98. So obviously 99 pounds isn't going to get you there to the 98% water. So what I'm trying to get is there a number that will get you at 98%? And if so, what number does anyone think it might be? It's not 99, and it's not 7.
KD2GMB, I might have came in late, but, I mean, were we starting at 100 pounds of potatoes?
Yes, we were, 100 pounds.
Well, if for 2% difference, yeah, 7 pounds a gallon, I'll just say 14 pounds lighter.
Okay, so you're saying something like you would have it be 86 pounds or so?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so basically that would be, if it was 86, then the equation is 86 divided by 87, because you have to add the 1 pound of the solid potato mass. And I think that would give you something like 98.6%. Any other numbers anyone would like to offer?
Are you ready for me to give them an answer?
Apparently not too many people want to play with this game, so please, Dick, tell everyone the answer.
You started off with 100 pounds of potatoes at 99%. you're going to end up with 50 pounds of potatoes. You had 1% solid, 99 pounds of water. Oh, yeah, 1 pound of solid, 99 pounds of water. That was the 99%. When you get rid of 50 pounds of water, you now have 49 pounds of water and 1 pound of solid. That's exactly 98%. Even though you've only changed by 1%, you're removing 50 pounds of water. Very opposite of common sense. Over to you, Roy. K2LAW.
Effectively, if you are doubling the percent of one item in a mixture, the solid potato is going from 1 to 2%, you have to halve the other part of the mixture. You have to have the water content in half. And so that leaves you with a 50-pound sack of 98% water potatoes. And if anyone is interested, if they go to my roy.ac2gs.com, I've actually put up a nice little graph of how the percentage, the water content percentage, changes over the total percentage of water removed. You can sort of see that it's almost a straight line until you get too far into the curve. So it's not something that people kind of think of. You figure that if it's a 1% difference, it must be a 1% difference in the weight. But surprisingly, it's a 50% difference. So that's called the potato paradox. Also, for those people interested in further information about Dick telling about how a bat strikes a ball and alters its velocity and the conservation of momentum and such, I found a very nice article on the velocity of bats and balls, and I put it up on my link page. You can go to bat.ac2gs.com, or you can see it listed in my linked page, which is roy.ac2gs.com.
We're getting a little bit late, and I think we should give Paul some time for his space report. Roy, go ahead.
Time completely done for tonight. Paul, please give us your report.
And thank you, Roy. Great stuff. It's only a small percentage are able to guess at your complicated physics puzzles. WS2N. With space report number 298, go right ahead, Paul, K2LAW. What has launched, and how is the latest spacecraft doing on the way to Mars?
Okay, and very, very good, Roy, on all of that. And yeah, I'm up to net 299, so I don't know, maybe we lost one somewhere along the line. But, InSight mission is still going well, and it's still being trailed by the Marco satellites that are following it, the two of them, the two CubeSats. So they're going to have a couple of mid-course corrections early on, and then after that they're just going to coast until EDL, which would be entry, descent, and landing, on November 26th, it's going to be the day after Thanksgiving. I think it's the 26th, but whatever the Thanksgiving day is, the next day. So that'll be pretty good. Most people will be home from work, if they have that day off. If not, they'll be able to see it on the news. I'm sure the news will cover that topic. Let me drop it. This is WS2N. Okay. There's an EVA coming up this week on Wednesday. Two NASA astronauts, Ricky Arnold and Drew Fussell, is going to go outside and do a spacewalk and work on the ammonia system and some cameras and a few other items that they have to do. So I'll look for that. I missed the news conference for it, so I'm not sure exactly some of the details, but they're going to be preparing equipment and everything for eventual docking of commercial spacecraft with astronauts on board. So I know there's some more done in preparation for the future docking, which will probably start taking place, maybe unmanned by the end of this year, and then manned for the beginning of 2019.